I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. Over the last several days, we've been talking to the candidates running for office in the federal election, specifically the riding I live in, Vancouver Kingsway. The person running for re-election, the incumbent, Don Davies, joins me now. He is a New Democratic Party candidate. Prior to winning the 2008 election, Don Davies, a lawyer, was the Director of Legal Resources for Teamsters Canada, Local 31. He has the distinction of being one of the top five members of Parliament who have spoken the most words in the House and who've introduced the most private members' bills. He's his party's critic for public safety and national security, multiculturalism, and Western economic diversification. The website for more is at dondavies.ndp.ca. Please welcome back to the Plant Online program, Don Davies. Good morning, Mr. Davies.
Joseph, it's a pleasure to be with you.
Thanks for joining us. So I want to give you the chance to respond to the comment that your Conservative opponent brought up in an appearance you and a couple of other candidates had made on CKNW on Friday with Simi Sarah, a comment that she brought up on this program again yesterday. So I pulled up the story from the Vancouver Sun, April 12th, by Chad Skelton. The headline is Immigrant Vote Hard to Predict in Multicultural Vancouver Kingsway. And I'll just read sort of the offending part, if you will. Both Yuen and Nguyen immigrated to Canada from Asia in the 1980s, Yuen from China and Nguyen from Vietnam. Davies, in contrast, was born in Alberta, as were his parents. He said he isn't worried. Quote, last time I was a Caucasian man and I prevailed against a Chinese woman, said Davies. And it goes on, I've always rejected the notion that only a Chinese person can represent Chinese people or only a Vietnamese person can represent Vietnamese people, because if that were true, then that means whoever the MP is, they are unable to represent most of the riding. So she takes exception to that. I thought it was dealt with on Friday on CKNW, but she brought it up again yesterday. What do you think she's upset with?
Well, I have no idea what she's upset with, but I can tell you that she continues to try to mislead the people of Vancouver Kingsway with by bringing this matter up. She also uses just a partial quote. She only uses the first sentence and mm-hmm. and never goes on to complete my quote or the rest of the article. But essentially, Joe, what happened was the reporter from the Vancouver Sun was doing a story on the ethnic vote in Vancouver Kingsway. And the question that I was asked was, how can I, as a Caucasian man, represent a riding that is 40% Chinese? So I pointed out that I didn't think it mattered, and that I thought that people vote based on the policies and the issues and the competencies of the various candidates and not on anybody's ethnicity. And that was the point I was making there. And in fact, Ms. Nguyen knows that, because if you read later on in the article, it says that Ms. Nguyen and Ms. Yuen agreed with me when I said that that the people of the riding vote based on policies and issues. So it's unfortunate that she's trying to bring, you know, ethnicity into the campaign. I think that people are people, Canadians are Canadians, and that citizens vote based on party policies and not on where you come from. You know, I've always pointed out that Vancouver Kingsway is an incredibly diverse riding. We have the second largest group is Filipino, the third largest group is South Asian, and whoever represents this riding has to have a deep understanding of and appreciation for a variety of multicultural communities. And so I just reject the notion that that where you come from in any way precludes or endorses your ability to represent people.
Do you think this will have an impact to the voter that she's talking to and when she repeats this quote to them?
No, not at all. Not at all. In fact, I think that Canadians actually, and people in Vancouver Kingsway, actually dislike it when a candidate tries to inject ethnicity into a campaign. And, yeah, I just think it's unfortunate. And I prefer to focus on the issues and the policies. And you know, the thing is that it doesn't matter where you're from. The issues of Vancouver Kingsway are the same for everybody. Lack of affordable housing, lack of child care, people worried about whether they can afford to send their children to post-secondary education. How do we care for our aging parents? The HST. These issues are the ones that transcend all cultures, and I think Ms. Nguyen would be better advised to to focus on those issues, because those are the ones that matter to people.
Now, nationally, the polls look good for your party. That's the same in British Columbia, is it?
Yes, we have a great deal of momentum in British Columbia. We're solidly in second place, and we're within a close distance of the Conservatives. So we feel very positive about the momentum that we're experiencing in British Columbia and across the country.
Now, there's one national poll that has you ahead of the Liberals. Do you think your party will do better than the Liberals on Monday?
Well, I think that Canadians are really becoming attracted to Jack Layton and his positive message. We've put out a very practical, affordable platform that is geared at one thing. It's geared at trying to take some of the pressure off folks' budgets. There's been a lot of attention and care over the last 15 years by both the Conservatives and Liberal parties about multinational corporations and big companies. They seem to get the attention of those parties. We've been focusing and concentrating on the budgets of middle class and working class families, and trying to take that burden off by capping credit card interest rates. You know, just look at that for a second. You know, we've been in a low interest rate environment for about the last 5 years. People are getting, 0.75%, 1% on their savings in the bank. Prime is about 2.5%, credit card companies are charging people 18 and 19 and 20% on their credit card bills every month. That's not fair, and it's not justified. So we've been really concentrating on trying to make life better for the vast majority of Canadians, and I think the polls are reflecting that.
Now, how does this work, Don, if you're elected the Member of Parliament for Vancouver Kingsway on Monday, and your party is either the number two or number three party in the House of Commons? How do you affect a change in lowering credit card fees?
Parliamentarians' job is to introduce legislation in the House of Commons and then work to get majority support for a piece of legislation, and that's what all MPs do.
So it'd be a private member's bill? Is that my understanding of it?
It could be. It could also be a government bill. It all depends on what the makeup of Parliament is at that time. But, one thing, Joe, that I have always pursued is that good legislation and good ideas can come from anywhere. And it doesn't really matter who gets the credit for it. What Canadians want is their politicians to be working together for the common betterment of Canadians and Canada. And I actually think that the sort of partisan sniping, the negative politics is something that Canadians don't want to see. And I'll work with anybody who will join with us in taking such a positive step as making sure that Canadians pay fair interest rates on their credit cards. Yeah, so I'll encourage any party to work with the NDP in pursuing that.
Now, you have the distinction of introducing the most private members' bills in the last Parliament. How many did you put forward?
Well, I actually was fourth.
Top five, I guess.
I'm sorry, how did I do that?
Yeah, no, how many did you do?
Oh, I'm sorry, I did 15.
15.
I drafted 15 pieces of legislation, and I drafted another 13 motions. So it's a total of 28 pieces of legislation in the last 2.5 years. And we worked very hard because prior to this, Joseph, we had the David Emerson issue where folks not only felt that their votes were betrayed, but that their voices had not been heard. And so what I wanted to do was make sure that what I heard in Vancouver Kingsway, the priorities of the people that live here, were reflected in Parliament. And there was a big deficit to overcome there, so I worked very hard to make sure that the kinds of policies and issues that I was hearing on the streets in Vancouver Kingsway made their way to Ottawa, and so I did that.
There was another issue at the start of the campaign. Seems like a lifetime ago now, because campaigns tend to be long for the candidate and for those people watching them, regarding you and in a campaign expense that involved a parking ticket. The news report at the end of it said that you'd been reached for comment but hadn't responded as yet. How did you respond to that report?
Oh, yeah, well, this was another, I think, a non-issue. Candidates in an election are permitted to put in candidate expenses. And in the 2008 election, my official agent sent in my campaign expenses. I actually never even saw the document that was submitted. And among the expenses submitted was a request to be reimbursed for a parking ticket that I received when I was out and about campaigning. It was, in fact, not paid, so it wasn't reimbursed. And I personally would not have submitted that, and I'm glad it was rejected, because I don't think it was a proper expenditure of taxpayers' money. So there's really nothing to it.
And you'll be looking at your expense report this time?
Yes, I will. In fact, I probably won't submit any. I mean, that same report took me to task for submitting $1.97, I think, for a Starbucks receipt, which was probably a muffin that I had. So, you know, if we're going to get attacked over $1.97 muffin, I'd rather not submit anything at all.
So, common thinking on this election for Monday is not common thinking, I guess, but the thing that I hear amongst the chattering classes, the media, is that it'll be another conservative minority. And so if that's the case, and it's your party and the Liberals and one, two or three, or however, three or two, how soon after the minority is formed will your party move to vote them down?
You know, Joseph, I just cannot speculate about anything that's going to happen after the election. My mind is focused completely on this campaign, and I have not thought anything beyond Monday, May 2nd. And all I can say is that the New Democrats under Jack Layton for the last, really for the last 10 years, but particularly in the last 5 years, have taken a very positive and cooperative approach to Parliament. We want to make Parliament work for Canadians, and Jack has led the way. No leader has a stronger record of being cooperative and practical and principled than Jack Layton in Parliament. And so we'll wait and see what Canadians decide on May 2nd, and we'll take a look at the Parliament that Canadians have chosen, and you know, get to work on pushing the platform that we've put together that we think Canadians want and really need.
And there's talk of a coalition. The Conservatives keep bringing it up. Would a coalition be formed if the Liberals were in two and the New Democrats were in third place?
Well, same answer as I just gave, Joseph. You know, I'm not going to speculate on what we're going to do, because we have to wait and respect the wishes of Canadians. I mean, Canadians may, you know, who knows, they may send a majority of New Democrats to Parliament. You know, they may decide that we're the official opposition. You know, we don't know. So I think it's really important to let the democratic process unfold. And again, what Canadians know from New Democrats, it's no surprise, is that we'll roll up our sleeves and work cooperatively to bring in good policies for folks across this country. And, you know, whatever kind of legislative cooperation, informally or formally, that may take, we'll discuss that and evaluate it after the election.
Your Conservative opponent yesterday, when I asked her about coalition talk, she says she gets a lot of voters coming up to her telling her that they're afraid of a coalition. What do voters tell you about coalitions?
I don't think I've heard two voters talk about it in the entire 5 weeks of the campaign, Joe. And, you know, there's sort of typical of the Conservative approach to government, which is to be very divisive and to use fear, and also be very, might I say, loose with the facts. You know, I've heard them continually say that they use the Bloc Québécois. Well, the truth is that the Bloc Québécois was never part of the coalition in 2008. There was a joint legislative program negotiated between the NDP and the Liberals, and the Bloc was not part of that. All the Bloc had said was that they agreed not to introduce a non-confidence motion for the, I think it was, 28 months of the agreement. It didn't stop the Conservatives by, you know, trying to mislead Canadians in thinking that the Bloc was part of the coalition, which they were not. The other thing, of course, is that every minority government is a coalition. The Conservatives for the last 2.5 years could not govern without the support of one of the other parties at times, including the Bloc Québécois. And on many occasions, I watched the Bloc Québécois vote with the Conservative government. So it didn't seem to be a problem for the Conservatives to have a coalition and be propped up by the Bloc Québécois when it suited their interests. But they seem to think it's not appropriate if the Bloc supports other parties' legislative agendas. So again, I think that's part of the politics that Canadians are rejecting. It's one of the reasons I think the Bloc Québécois is declining in Quebec, and one of the reasons that the New Democrats are gaining momentum across this country, because Canadians are rejecting those politics of fear and oversimplification and misleading Canadians, and they're looking for a positive alternative, and that's why I think they're really coming to the New Democrats in every province of this country.
Now, the HST is a big issue in this province, and it has sort of a national implication, I guess, in that the Conservatives had a hand in crafting this for British Columbians, did they not?
Well, this is another misleading thing of the Conservatives. Not only did they have a hand in it, they drove the process. I'm going to give you a quote from Jim Flaherty, the Conservative finance minister, and what he said in April 10, 2008, to the C.D. Howe Institute. He said, "We're also calling on the remaining provinces that have not harmonized their PST with the GST to work with us to accomplish the goal of harmonization." I was in Parliament, Joe, when legislation was introduced in Ottawa that set in motion the HST. I was in Parliament when the vote came up over whether or not that legislation passed and whether or not $1.6 billion would be paid to the province as compensation for harmonizing. So, you know, Ms. Nguyen in particular runs around saying this is a provincial issue. That is just factually incorrect. It's wrong. And the reason she's saying that is because the Conservatives in this province are scrambling because they want to avoid responsibility for what they and the Liberals did, which is every Liberal and Conservative MP in British Columbia went to Ottawa and voted for the HST, and only the NDP spoke against it and voted against it. Now, in Vancouver Kingsway, we're a riding almost entirely of small business. I joke that Purdy's Chocolate is our major employer.
Yeah.
But the restaurants, the beauty shops, the retail outlets, these businesses have been devastated by the HST. The BC Restaurant Association, their figures are that there's been a 7% drop in restaurant sales. Two-thirds of restaurants have laid off staff, and 6% have closed. So, you know, this tax has been devastating on businesses and consumers alike. It was a 7% tax hike on hundreds of items, everyday items like vitamins, haircuts, newspapers, restaurants, meals, new house sales, in a recession. And, you know, that's the other thing I think Canadians are looking for, Joe, is they want accountability from their politicians. And when the HST was talked about in the provincial election in May 2009, and the Liberal government here told people they would not introduce it, and then weeks after the election broke their word and introduced it, MPs in BC had a chance to stand up for BC. And at that time, it was clear that 80% of British Columbians opposed the tax, and they were misled, 100% of them were misled about it. So instead of standing up for British Columbia, the Conservative and Liberal MPs went, held their noses, and voted for the HST. And, you know, I've never seen such an irresponsible abdication when I see the candidates like Ms. Nguyen and Ms. Ewan who simply run away from that issue instead of standing before voters and defending their party's position. You know, I've asked them on numerous occasions, explain why your party's voted for the HST. And they refuse to do so. They will try to they will try to dissemble by saying, well, it's a provincial issue, again, absolutely false. Or they'll say that, you know, they're gonna, there's a referendum in June. But actually, Joseph, there's a referendum on May 2nd.
Right.
That's the first chance that British Columbians will have to pass judgment on their federal politicians in British Columbia and pass judgment on why they imposed and the HST on British Columbians against British Columbians' interests and against their wishes.
Between the 2008 and 2006 elections, you won the seat in 2008. Your party's vote, though, only increased by less than 2%, 1.7%. The Greens doubled their vote, and the Conservatives went up 9%. How does how do your numbers look, if you will, before Monday's election? Are you hoping to increase your vote, or does it look like it'll stay roughly the same?
Well, Joseph, I can tell you, if you ask a politician if they want their vote to increase, you're always going to. Yeah, we of course want our vote to increase, and we think it will. You know, the NDP have, we have increased our vote and we've increased our seats every election since 2004. We had 19 seats in 04, 29 seats in 06, we had 37 seats in 08, and if the polls are any indication, we will do dramatically, we'll dramatically increase. Now, the Liberals, on the other hand, have seen their seat totals go from, you know, majority government in 2001 to minority in 04, when I think they had 118 seats, down to, I think they had, what's their seat total in 06? Somewhere around 90 seats.
Yeah.
They keep coming down, and in Vancouver Kingsway, the Liberal vote has plummeted from, you know, I think around 20,000 in 2006 to 13,000 in 08. So I think they're trending down. I think the Conservatives, they always were around 7,000 or 8,000 votes, and they came up to 12,000, I think largely because votes left the Liberal Party and went to the Conservatives. So the Liberals dropped precipitously. That shift is occurring in Kingsway, and our vote went up in the last election. And again, the other thing, Joseph, is that we went up also in a declining turnout scenario.
Right.
So we sort of increased our vote by about 1,000 votes, I think, last election when fewer people voted. So we're feeling cautiously optimistic, but we take nothing for granted, that's for sure.
Now, if the seat numbers remain the same and Harper gets another minority, can we view that as the public forgiving his government its ethical trespasses?
Well, again, I'm not sure that we're at a position yet where we can evaluate or interpret the election results. You know, there's usually a lot of time for postmortems after the election. I think the Conservative government has been one of the worst governments in Canadian history. You know, they have they're extremely controlled. They have really resisted disclosure and accountability and transparency. You know, just in the last 6 months, we saw at least 6 or 7 scandals of this government that I think were starting to take hold. It's one of the reasons, by the way, that I think Mr. Harper provoked this election. And make no mistake, the Conservatives wanted this election. They don't want to be perceived as wanting it, but they wanted this election. And I think part of the reason is they know that the combined weight of these scandals was starting to stick. You know, you had cabinet ministers that were using their letterhead to raise money for the Conservative Party. You had cabinet ministers who were altering documents and then misleading Parliament about it. You know, you have someone in the Prime Minister's office, the highest advisor, who is a convicted fraud, and was involved in probably violating conflict of interest guidelines. So you have the In and Out scandal. You know, where the Conservatives, you have two senators and high-ranking officials of the Conservative Party who have been charged, facing jail sentences for allegedly violating election laws last election, or I'm sorry, 2006 election. So, yeah, I do think that those ethical lapses are having their effect on the Harper government, and that will be, I think that will be part of why they're going to lose seats.
Don, I appreciate your time today. It's a busy campaign, I'm sure, and good luck with your campaign.
It's my pleasure, Joseph. Thanks for talking to you.
You're very welcome. The website for more, dondavies.ndp.ca. Don Davies is the new Democratic Party's candidate in Vancouver Kingsway. I'm Joseph Plante.